Thank you. Now we can properly begin. I want to thank Alternatives for having me here today, and I want to thank you for being a partner in this serious battle, this battle for life. Sorry about that. We are in a battle, and God wants us to use our voices to make a difference. He's given us a voice for that, for such a reason as that. And so this morning, I'd like to draw your attention, if you have your Bibles with you, to Proverbs. They were written for a specific reason. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, more specifically, says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." And there are four obvious things right there in that text. The first obvious thing is that God is a lover of life. That's why Alternatives exist, right? Because they love life. They love to give people alternatives, which is really life. They are advocates for the victim. And I think that, you know, I'm on the, with Colorado Right to Life, we are on the sort of political slab. Life is not political, okay? Life is life. But we've deemed it as a political issue because people vote on whether or not we have the right to end someone's life, right? So we are really, I would say, the first line of defense. We do a lot of street counseling, but we point people to organizations like Alternatives. So that's where that frontline partnership comes from. And so I appreciate Alternatives and all they do, because one of the arguments people say is, you know, when people are driving into Planned Parenthood to make the decision to end a child's life, they say, "Well, what about all the kids that need to be adopted?" And I say, you have Alternatives. You can go right downtown and you can get an ultrasound, or you can talk to a counselor that can help you find a home for that baby. So the first obvious thing is that God is a lover of life. And he loves to promote life and not violence and not death. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The second obvious thing is that life comes from the mouth. That may be the only source of life for some people, but it is a source of life, because we are life-giving in our words. When a woman or a man comes into that clinic and they come into Alternatives and someone says, "You have life living inside of you, and you have a choice to save that life." That is life-giving. That is life-giving. The text is clear that it's just that it is one source. The mouth is one source. The mouth can be life-giving. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The third obvious thing about this life-giving mouth is that it is like a fountain, because out of your mouth comes these springs of life. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And the last thing that you notice that is obvious from this text is that life is righteousness. Your mouth produces righteousness. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And today I want to talk about how we as men have a duty to use our voices for the silent victims. I don't think that we really understand, and where I was going with this before, when you're on the front lines of defense, you're advocating to save the life of the baby in the womb, right? But people don't see the silent victim. The silent victim is the mother who has to make that decision to end that baby's life because they feel like they don't have any other alternatives. Or the man who stands to the side who says, "I don't have a choice in this. I don't have an alternative." The baby's gone. And the guilt and the trauma of that lasts for a long, long time until someone can step in and say, "You have alternatives." That's my big idea today. God cares about us. He cares about our lips. He cares about our tongues. He cares about what goes in. But he cares more about what comes out. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, "It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man. So my big idea today is God wants to make your mouth a fountain of life. The first thing we have to understand about that is what is righteousness and what makes the mouth a fountain of life. And how do you become that kind of person whose mouth freely brings forth life? Well, step one is coming here. Step one is getting involved with an organization that speaks life day in and day out, and really doing what the men did for Moses when he was up on that hill praying as they fought the Amalekites. They held his arms up. You men are the standard bearers, and you hold up the hands of alternatives as they do the work, but they need your help. They need you to become an advocate. And so in order to answer those questions that I just talked about, I wanted to look at other places in the book of Proverbs, because, you know, Scripture builds on Scripture. Scripture speaks and supports itself. So this fountain of life is found elsewhere in Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 13, verse 14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life." So if the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, and the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, then one element of righteousness is true wisdom. And righteous people are people who live by true wisdom. Now, somebody tells you that they're wise and they're advocating for someone to kill their child, that is wrong, and that is not true wisdom. Then I remember the most crucial things about that Proverbs says about wisdom. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you begin to challenge yourself and you say, hey, I want to live like the world, then guess what? The world is your source of wisdom and not the Lord. And if the Lord is your source of wisdom, then you will be obedient to what God says. So then I assume that the fear of the Lord is really at the heart of what wisdom says, which is the basis of the way righteous people live. Fear of the Lord, wisdom, righteousness. And the surpassing or the surprising thing was the way that this was confirmed in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27, which says that fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So I included that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, because righteousness is a life based on true wisdom, which is a fountain of life. I know it sounds like I'm just kind of whirlpooling this, but it all makes sense, because the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And if you need evidence, all you got to do is read the book of Proverbs. So the fear of the Lord means two things. It means we stand in awe of the majesty and the power and the justice and the holiness of and the grace of God. And then secondly, we tremble at his word. We tremble at his word. That means that we become doers of his word. I remember when I first started working in ministry, I was surrounded by all these great pillars of ministry. These guys had gone to, they were academics. They were people who had gone to seminary, or as I like to call it, cemetery. And they figured it out for themselves. And I felt extremely inadequate to work in ministry. And then I began to read the Bible. And I came across this passage in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, which says, "This is the one that I will look at, the one who trembles at my word." Do you take God's word serious? It means that we become obedient to God's word. And this is what Psalm 36:9 says, "You, God, give them to drink from the river of your delights, for with you is the fountain of life." So the reason is that righteousness is a life based on true wisdom, and true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord roots people in God himself and keeps us close to him in personal fellowship, and God alone is the ultimate self-replenishing, inexhaustible fountain of life. So the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, because God is a fountain of life, and the righteous live on God. We live on him. We drink from him daily. And I want you to notice something very carefully. So we've kind of defined righteousness contextually and biblically, and yet without any reference to a particular list of behaviors that you're supposed to do or perform for God. This is the answer to that second question. Why does this righteousness make fountains out of our mouths? Well, from a biblical standpoint, righteousness is not primarily a set of things that we do. Instead, righteousness is abiding in the vine. It's abiding in the one who gives us the power to do the things that we do. Trusting in the vine to work through you and flow through you. So really, God wants you to be an empty vessel when you show up, right?
Yeah.
Would you call that an advocate for men? Is that what that term is? Advocacy. Sometimes all it takes is just sitting there and listening and just saying, here's what I would suggest you should do, because this is the standard that God has set. Righteousness is being in Christ and living by faith in his power and grace and wisdom. That kind of relationship with God and his son makes your mouth a fountain. And the picture here is that of freedom, water flowing up and out, giving life. I'm glad it's not a trickle. I'm glad it's a fountain. And if you tap into the true source, the fountain itself, the fountain who is God, then you will always be a life giver from your mouth. That's why in Matthew it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you're an advocate for the victim, the silent victim, and you are walking with the Lord and you're tapped into the true vine, what comes out of your mouth will be an abundance, a fountain of life and a fountain of wisdom. And that means to be a fountain of life for us and in us, so that out of the abundance of our mouths, we can be a fountain of life for others. That's why when you feel bad, you run to people who are wise, who can encourage you in the Lord. Amen? So that really is the answer to that second question. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain because of the source. The source is God. The source and all of our power comes from him. So the heart of this message today is a call for us to trust in God with all of our heart. And out of the abundance and out of the treasure that is stored within us, it comes from God because we have tapped into him. We are living in God. We are to feed on him. We are to drink from him. We are to fellowship with him and to learn all of our wisdom from him, and then simply be a conduit of who he is. You heard the passion in that man's voice in that video today. He says, now I know how to be a good husband. He wasn't a husband when he walked into that clinic. I guarantee you that. But he came out of that place and he understood the ultimate responsibility that he had as a man. And that's what we are to do. We are to encourage other people to stand up and be a man. When I was a kid, I remember when I was 18 years old, I turned 18, and 2 days later, I was shipping off to basic training. And my father told me, he met me down as I was leaving, and he gave me, this is the best advice, and probably the only advice my father ever gave me. And it came from the Bible. He said, son, show yourself to be strong and be a man. And I think that we have a lot of problems in our culture today because men don't know how to be men. So, as advocates for those who are victims, we are taught to do this. We're taught to show people how to tap into the abundance of who God is. He says this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, let him who is thirsty come, let him who desires to take the water of life take it without price. Because the fountain of life is free and it produces fountains. I'm looking at all these fountains in this room this morning. But there remained one question. How does this fountain of life, this mouth, produce life for others? And I want to give you three pointers this morning as I'm wrapping up. And how you can apply this specifically to your life. For life to be sustained, whether spiritual or physical, And I think both of them are in view here. First of all, it needs to be fed when it's hungry. So you came here this morning because you wanted to hear and be motivated, but you also got physical food this morning. When you're hungry, you eat, right?
Yeah.
When you're sick, you need to be healed. And when you're under attack, you need to be delivered. So if the mouth is going to be a fountain of life, what comes out of it needs to feed, heal, and deliver. These three things are clearly taught in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 10:21, it says, "The lips of the righteous feed many." You don't know how many people you can feed with your mouth just by speaking life to them. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6 says, "The mouth of the upright delivers men." You see men every day who come into alternatives looking for an answer. They come in there because they are seeking after the truth. And to have them, men and women, come in and you give them the truth, they're looking for permission to do the right thing. I can't tell you how many times we're standing out on the sidewalk and we're saying, save your baby, and the car slows down. And people stop, and they turn around and leave because they know that life is in them. So the mouth is a fountain of life for others because it brings forth words that feed, heal, and protect. I'm gonna say this again, I love alternatives. I love them for this very reason. In a world that celebrates the culture of death, our friends and alternatives is out speaking up for the silent victims. The unborn babies, that's victim number one, okay? It's infanticide. It is not pretty. Victim number two is the mom, right? They're emotional. They don't think they have a choice. We're not here to judge, although we do judge, right? We judge them righteously by saying, don't do this, don't kill your baby, you have life on the inside of you. That's a judgment, because you are judging them by giving them the absolute truth that never changes. And the third victim in this is the man. I'll tell you a quick personal story. I knew a guy who was in love. He loved his wife, and his wife decided, they got pregnant, and she didn't really want to be in the marriage, and she decided that she was going to have an abortion. And she told him 2 hours after she went and had the abortion. And you know what happened to this guy? He wanted a kid so bad, he lost his mind. He had a nervous breakdown and spent 6 months in a mental institution. And he's fought years and years and years without advocacy. Years walking around with the guilt of knowing that his child, he will never be able to see his child on this side of heaven. That is a burden that is tremendous. And it is our responsibility, it's our duty to be a voice for those victims and showing them that there is a greater plan. My friends at Alternatives do something amazing. I met a Yende probably 14 years ago when I was at a tiny little church out in Holland's Ranch, and he came in with his team to teach the students about abstinence. Came to our youth group at Summit Community Church and taught our kids about abstinence. And here we have legislation that is gonna change how we can talk to people. Now, is there a sin in telling people that it's not right to have sex before marriage?
No.
And yet, we live in a culture that says that excess is more. Hedonism is more, it's the way, it's the path to life, and that every kid should experience that type of death, because it really is a rite of passage to life. That is utter foolishness. And so I'm going to stand with alternatives, and I'm going to fight with them. And I'm calling on you guys to fight with them too. This is absolutely ridiculous that we cannot be a voice, that this speaking out of the truth is under attack. I love alternatives because they're a place that I can send women and men who are looking for, who need to see the evidence of life in their womb, because they're being told, oh, that's not life, it's just a blob of tissue. And they provide counseling to women and men who have been devastated by infanticide. I can't tell you how many walking wounded people come to our churches and sit in the pews every Sunday and serve right alongside you who have had to make that choice. And they have that guilt. I can't tell you how many people have faced suicide as a result of that, and no one knows why, or are faced with coping with it through substance abuse because they are trying to cope with a guilt that they, a burden that they bear, that they feel like no one else will ever understand. They die a death every single day when they wake up. I love alternatives because they feed, they heal, and they protect. So as you think about how you can support, and I know someone's going to come and do this, but I want to say this personally. When you think about how you can support alternatives, I will say this. If you have an activist bone in your body, go to the Capitol when they start this incredibly ridiculous legislation to say that we can't teach abstinence in schools. Be an advocate for those who have no voice. Be an advocate for those who walk around with this shame every day. And I want you to change the way you think about this situation and this process. How are we doing? Are we good on time? Okay. We ought to be a voice for those who have no voice. And so I want to leave you with these questions. How can your voice be a fountain of life? Alternatives is under attack. We're always going to be under attack. Being pro-life, you're going to be under attack. People are going to look at you and they're going to say, you are stupid for supporting this. You're not with it. This is against the times. They're going to call you a bigot. They're going to call you dumb. They're going to say that you're attacking reproductive rights, and you just ignore it because God is the God of life and he honors those who honor him. So does your mouth usually heal people with words of grace and love and kindness, or does it wound people with insensitive, harsh, critical, unhelpful words? You know, in this whole fight, we have not been unified in the pro-life movement. One, we need to be abolitionists. That's how we ended slavery. We had a zero tolerance for slavery because slaves anywhere was a slave everywhere, right? Infanticide anywhere is infanticide everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And that's how we have to look at it. And it begins by teaching children about abstinence and raising the standard back to no sex before marriage and learning how to be a man and learning how to be a woman. God cares about your mouth, and he cares about how you use your mouth, and he cares about you being a mouth of righteousness. I want to leave you with one song, and I think somebody's going to come and do a